Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast. We have a full house, a full complement of three detachments. I start off as your... What's the worst detachment in the game? The dedicated trans...
Death Watch.
There we go. I will be your Death Watch detachment, Eric. And with us is Raymond.
Hello, everyone.
And our Vanguard helping in as extra support, Don Husen, helping us out again tonight.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us, gentlemen. Appreciate it. A lot going on this weekend. We had our final two GT tournaments, or did we, of right before the 2017 conclusion of the ITC season at LVO. We had not one, not two, but three codex drops. We're going to talk about the Men in Gold, as well as the demonic incursion that happened, as we had our hands now on the codex. And we also got to see some of it play this past weekend. And last but not least, we've got some predictions for LVO, and in terms of what we saw this past weekend in the tournament circuit. And I'd be curious to see your guys' opinions, so make sure as you hear this, give us a shout-out on our Facebook page. So let's get into the tournament news first. We'll start East Coast. Those poor guys are frozen solid. And having grown up on the East Coast, all I have to say to them is you don't shovel sunshine, so anyway, head our way off to the Golden Sprue Cup 2017 edition, and up in Rensselaer, New York, which is like the frozen solid. Oh my god, one of my best friends from high school went to that college. I went to visit him. I was never so cold in my life. Anyway, congratulations, gentlemen, for braving the extreme weather as well as the extreme competition. So, big East Coast event. Starting off in 8th place, we had Justin Adams with a World Orders list. He went 2 wins, 2 losses, 2 ties. 7th place, Edward Walker with Ultramarines. Also 3 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. Dan Downer, heard he's a funny guy, playing Death Guard. 3 wins in that particular route and 2 ties. Eric Scrivens, playing a Death Astartes from the East Coast team, also 3 wins. Ivan Cho, playing Inari, also with 4 wins, 1 tie, 1 loss. David Koska with Cult Mechanicus, 4 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. In second place, Mike Kaiser with Adeptus Auroritas from Death Spiral Down. He went 4 wins, 1 tie, 1 loss. And finally, your winner of the 2018 Golden Sprue Cup is Jared Friedman with Chaos Space Marines from Team Beast Ghost, going 4 wins, no losses, 1 tie.
So just looking at this, I think what they did is they just chose not to do the 6th round at all.
It seems that way. Looks also, when I look at that final pairings, they kind of did like a playoff type thing, because I noticed there were only like 4 matchups in the final pairing. So I thought that was rather interesting there. Lists, no surprises, I will say that. When looking at what these guys brought for types of lists, we'll start with Ivan Cho being an Ari. Surprise, surprise, gut loads of Dark Reapers. You've got your Triumvirate of, he had the Incarn, he had Evrain, I think, of the Vizark. Second Supreme Detachment, including a whole bunch of Farseers and Wave Serpents, and everything else was nothing but Dark Reapers, so no surprises there. David Koska was playing Cult Mechanicus. Ray, I don't know if you have that list handy, but off the top of my head, I thought it was surprising he played... Oh, help me out. What's the Forge World that has the same ability as Alpha Legion? Can't be shot. -1... Used that craft world, and he brought in 2 large blobs of Electro Priest, one of the shooty type, and the other one is the staff type. But he only brought in 2 units of 10, which I was kind of surprised by. But I guess that was enough to get the job done. Got him 3rd place.
But David, I've got his list right here.
Rattle off to us. Tell us about that list.
So he had the Admix Spearhead, which was Stygies. The HQ was a Tech Priest Engine Seer. He did have the 10-man squad of Fulgurite Priests and 10-man squad of the Corpus Scari Priests. 10-man Ranger squad with the Galvanic Rifles and the Omni Specs. A 4-man unit of Dragoons with the Taser Lances. 3 Doom Crawlers. 2 of them with the Icarus Array. one with the Eradication Beamer. He then had an Imperium Vanguard with Inquisitor Greyfax, and then one of each Assassin. Then he followed up with a Astra Militarum Battalion, made up specifically of just Militarum Tempestus. Two Tempestor Primes with Command Rods, one with Kurov's Aquila. Two Scion Command Squads with four Plasma Guns. And then three squads of Scions. They were five-man squads, each with two Meltaguns.
So that is the list there. Interesting. Some usual suspects, a couple unusual ones. I'm actually fumbling through my notes quickly here. Inquisitor Greyfax, haven't heard from her since Gathering Storm came out. I don't remember what she does in 8th edition.
I remember she's a Psyker, which might be one of the crazier parts. I think they might have just picked it for being a cheap choice, and probably was what they had on hand.
Good point. No idea. So interesting there. Scions are not a surprise. Get a little bit of a couple bodies in the way there.
The nice thing about Scions is that they can all drop in.
True. So kind of their own little alpha strike or even a defensive beta strike. So he's got all the tools. And let's say he can't complain. He got third place. So he seems to be knowing what he's doing with this list. Like I said, I was a little surprised that the pre-spawn wasn't bigger. But anyway. What do I know? So, Don, what are your thoughts on that list?
It looks like it has a lot of things that are really good if you go first, and if you don't, it looks like it can crumble. So maybe he just got lucky, not taking anything away from him, but got lucky and went first on most of his games. I'm also noticing, just in general, at the tournament, the way it looks like it's set up, it looks like they were definitely getting ready for LVO, because it looks like on day two they cut everyone that was not in the top eight. So only the top eight went on for day two.
I noticed that as well. And by the way, as I noticed, one of the players I was shocked to see not make the top eight, Alexander Fennell. I mean, he's been on the U.S. ETC team 5-6 years running. First of all, I was shocked he was playing Ultramarine, so he, for whatever reason, he shelled his Necrons. But he came in 15th place with two wins and a loss, so just could not amass enough points to crack that top eight. But looks like that's what they did, which is interesting. We'll have to talk about that among our next TO meeting, if that's something we want to be doing moving forward. Next on our list here and top players on this particular tournament, Mike Kaiser with Adeptus Sororitas. I was taking a look at this list prior to the show, and I was a little confused just the way he formatted the list. It seems like he's got mostly sisters with a little bit of salamanders mixed in, but it seemed to go kind of, I don't know, it's just hard for me to read it. I don't know, Ray, if you have that handy, take a look at it.
I do. Give me a second to take a look at it. A battalion detachment. It's a little bit out of order. Celestine and a Canonis. A Seraphim squad. Three squads of just battle sisters. And then a Rhino. Okay, this looks like it's not a sisters battalion. It's an Imperium battalion, because right there, there's two retributive squads and the heavy support.
Well, that's sister still.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know sisters at all, so thank you, Don.
Yeah, those are the ones that used to rend with their heavy bolters.
Okay. I don't know, I saw retributors and I just saw Space Marines. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Space Marines, spearhead attachment with a captain with a Thunderhammer, Dev Squad, and then three Predators.
Going for that kill shot, probably.
Yeah. And then a Vanguard detachment made up of an Inquisitor, a Primaris Psyker, Arcoflagellants, an Imagifier? I don't know what that is. And then a Ministorum Priest.
That army looks very awkward. But then again, I know down here in Arizona we have a weird meta compared to everywhere else. But I don't even think I've seen an Inquisitor hit the table down here since 8th dropped. I don't even think I've seen Inquisitor hit the table when I was at SoCal Open. But yet, that last one had Grayfax, and this one has Inquisitors. Maybe they're on something that we don't see yet. And they're the top, you know, third place, second place of this tournament, so who knows? Maybe there is a place for that kind of stuff. I know Sisters are already really good. Marines definitely help. And then I'm not terribly familiar with the Arcoflagellants and everything like that anymore, because last time I saw them, they got wiped off the table really fast. So I don't know.
I don't remember. I do remember they still hit like a truck, but I believe they're pretty glass cannony. I think they're similar to, you know, toughness 3, 5 up invul type thing. I have to double check what they do now in 8th, but I'll look that up now. But I'm just trying to figure what mechanism he's got to get them into close combat.
Maybe that's what the Predators are for, is to catch bullets. I've never seen a good kill shot list that had 3 Predators, because the first Predator pops turn 1 every single time. It's just how lists are built to stop that from happening, because kill shot is crippling.
Arcoflagellants. 7-inch move, weapon skill 3+, strength 4, toughness 3, 2 wounds each, 2 attacks each, leadership 7. They're little flaily things, which are pretty cool looking on the model. Plus 1 strength, so they're actually hitting at strength 5. AP dash, damage 1. And when you make an attack with this weapon, roll D3 dice instead of 1. So they're actually potentially doing anywhere from 2 to 6 attacks with these things. They have the Zealot keyword as well as, yep, and a 5-up invul. That's all they have for armor. So there's still glass cannons that you have to deal with that will wreck your face, but not particularly hard to kill. Now I'm being distracted by the penitent engine. Okay, moving on.
Don't look at that thing. That thing needs to get fixed so bad. So bad. It needs a new kit. So bad. It needs everything so bad.
It's still...
I've got the first place list up, and it's kind of interesting.
Is it another Alpha Legion Marine list, or...?
Partly.
Let me guess, there's at least 3 squads of Obliterators. A big blob of cultists.
There's 3 10-man... So, let me read it off. Let's hear what you think about this, Don. I'll right. Start at the top. A Chaos Space Marine Battalion made up of Airman, a Renegade Commander, so we're talking just plain out Chaos right now. 3 10-man Brimstone Horror Squads, a squad of Khorne Berserkers, and then a Bark of Khorne Chaos Rhino. Then we have a, quote, Alpha Legion Battalion with a Demon Prince with Wings, Marco Slaanesh, and then a Marco Nurgle Sorcerer. Then 3 10-man squads of Zinch Cultists, a Hellforged Scorpius, and then the heavy support is just, quote, Obliterators with Bark of Slaanesh. However many you can have for 195 points.
That's 3. Okay. 1 out of 3.
Okay, and then 2 Chaos Fire Raptor Assault Gunships.
That's where his list comes in. I was going to say, with those... I don't understand the Zinch Cultist thing. Because they don't have an Invulse Save, so they don't reroll Invulse Save as a 1 with Armon around, because they're also not 1,000 Suns. Yeah, that list sounds really weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even sound like it has a tremendously large amount of command points attached to it either for the Alpha Legion shenanigans and the Cultist shenanigans and the Obliterator shenanigans. But maybe he got some good rolls. Maybe he's actually just that awesome of a player at grabbing objectives. But it also doesn't sound like he has a whole lot of board presence either.
I think the quote he's this little quote on here at the top of his list says it all. Yo, dog, I have no idea what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, but apparently he did well. The lowest score that he got was 23 points with a victory. So I'm guessing that game just didn't go the distance. But yeah, I don't. That list sounds very awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the amount of firepower he's got with the Fire Raptors, well, 1 Fire Raptor is bad enough. So having 2 Fire Raptors, and it automatically gets that -1 to hit, being a flyer. So I don't know, did people just panic? And, oh my god, it's a flyer, I can't hit it. I mean, it's. Like, I assure you, I do not have that problem with my Razor Wings. They dropped from the sky like paper airplanes. And So I don't know. Like I said, if you just focused fire on the one of the two fire raptors, you should be able to deal with the rest of his list. And I'm not sure how he's holding objectives.
Because he has the three cultist squads, an obliterator squad, and what were the other troops that he had, Ray?
3 10-man squads, the Brimstone Horrors.
So I'm also going to go out on a limb here and say they probably were not using the new Demons Codex, because otherwise they just get picked right up.
Yeah, and only 7-man Berserker squad and a single Rhino. It's not, you know. I guess it could be scary because you're so worried about the Fire Raptors blowing you apart, but part of me is like, I will gladly take a charge from the Khorne Berserkers simply because I'm not going to get shot at by the quad heavy bolters. So, I don't know. Jared, you have stumped us. We have no idea.
Hope to see you at LVO so I can understand what the hell that you're doing.
Yes, we hope to see you there. So anyway, that was your Golden Sprue Cup for 2018. We did have one other event, and that was our own Rattler Cup. So first of all, I got to give a big shout out to Don. So we were setting up Friday night, and everybody's looking at me funny, which is usually not that normal. You know, it's kind of normal for the regular things. But Thursday night, I had a bit of an incident with a contact lens and definitely scratched my eye. Didn't think it was a big deal. Yeah, it was a big deal. My whole left eye was infected. So I spent most of the day on Saturday, instead of being at the tournament, running the event with Don at urgent care. So good news is it was not pink eye as we originally thought, but yeah, it was infected, and I've been taking drops ever since. And of course, not only did it the eye get infected, but also the lymph nodes and everything else around it get infected. So I was a swollen mess for most of Saturday and part of Sunday. And so I'll let Don talk about the Rattler Cup.
And I think that you were just preparing your offerings for Nurgle with the new Codex release.
Oh, I'm so sick of Nurgle. So sick of Nurgle right now. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
So, anywho, it was another GT, a little 5-round, 2-day event. Unfortunately, we didn't quite get to the actual GT numbers. There were a lot of people that suffered from Eris condition of the Nurgle Codex came out, so he bestowed his blessings on everyone. The flu is on crazy. And that's just my job involves that stuff. So that's how I know about it. Anywho, yeah, we had a great event. There were a whole bunch of big names like Jeff Robinson, Aurelio Carrera. We had James Carmona. We had a whole bunch of people come out to our little event. And one thing that you'll find out if you ever go down to Arizona is we have a weird, weird meta. So that's one of the things I like to see when they come out there. But yeah, we had a nice little top 8. And I'll let Eric talk about that part, and I'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah, so the top 8 was an interesting group in terms of, you know, some of the popular names and a couple names you may not have heard of. And interesting enough, I think one of our local people may have locked up Best in Faction before LVO even started. So we'll take a look at that in one quick sec. So we actually had a tie for 8th place, so we had for 7th, and right down the middle. Adam Baker with Tyranids, he went 3 wins and 2 losses, along with Zach Elgersma playing Chaos. I was surprised he brought that list again. So,
yeah, Magnus, he just didn't have anything else for that.
Oh, okay. So basically he didn't do laundry in time, so he just brought the list he had with him. Correct me, it's his usual Magnus and a bunch of Knights.
Yep. Yeah. And he was doing really well until he played against that that devil that was in second place that we'll get to later.
No, that bastard. All right, 6th place, Aaron Weissman with Cult Mechanicus. He's doing better. It's interesting, when I look at Aaron's scores, he won 3 games, 32, 32, 33 points, so pretty consistent. And he lost 2 games, 7 points and 16 points, so it seems like it either goes all his way or nothing goes his way, which seems how things went for the tournament he ran last week. And so I have to take a look at what's going right, what's going wrong with his list at that particular point.
Well, for 7, all you got to do is look at his opponent.
Fifth place, Mark Wright with Blood Angels, one of our teammates, who also went 3-2. Great job there. Not only a couple big wins, but also scoring quite a few points in his losses there, 20 points and 19 points. So great job there, Mark. Fourth place, Herb Schaefer with Drukhari. I think he's pretty much sealed up best in faction at this point from Team Unbound. He went 4-1, racking up close to 4,100 points. And even in his one loss, he still racked up 23 points, but 31, 22, 24, and 36 points in his four wins there. In third place, playing Alpha Legion, Aurelio Correra, also going 4-1. Really strong performance there. Second place, I don't know who this hack thinks he is, but Don Huzen. Yeah, the TO came in second. You gotta love that, playing Death Guard.
And what makes the best part about that. Yeah, hallelujah.
So, because of my health issues, normally what happens is I'm the ringer. Since I wasn't there and we had an odd number, Don had to bow out on round three. So Don only has four scores and still got second place. He racked up 37, 35, 34, 34 in his four wins, and then has a zero for not playing in one of the rounds because we had an odd number of players. So, good news for sportsmanship. Thank you, Don, for not making one of our paid customers. Thanks for traveling to our event. Now go sit in the corner for 3 hours. But for crying out loud, you still got second?
I know it was a fair bit of talk about that there, especially when, because I finished up my rounds fairly fast. The army that I have is a little ridiculous, but, and then it was like, everyone as they were finishing up was like, I think you're actually going to get second. And I was like, no, there's no way that's possible. I missed the entire game. Even if I lost, my score would be, even higher than where it's at. But, yeah, it was one of those things that as people's scores are coming in, it was just like, wow, I might actually hit it. And then once the final score is in, I'm like, this is the weirdest thing possible.
Absolutely insane. But congratulations. So our winner of the Rattler Cup 2018, we finally have a new winner. We've had this same winner for the last 2 years. But none other than Jeff In Control Robinson of Team Zero Comp. He played Tyranids, and he went a whopping 5-0, and did get just enough points to edge out Don. No, he actually had a very strong score of 5,143 total points in the tournament. Pretty strong strength of schedule, although Herb actually had the highest strength of schedule at 16,000. But great job there by Jeff, and one of the most unassuming lists you've ever seen. So I don't know, Ray, if you have that handy.
So we've got a brigade of High Fleet Kronos. We've got the Swarm Lord, two Neurothropes, a Turvagon, three-man squads of Rippers, two 30-man squads of Termagants, Mucolids, three-man squads of Biovores, a six-man squad of Hive Guard, a three-man squad of Hive Guard, and a four-man squad of Venomthropes.
So, Don, you got to see this in action. I got to hear... It's kind of like... kind of like in the fluff where like the guardsmen who the three guardsmen that survived the Tyranid invasion try to tell you what happened. So I got kind of the secondhand approach, but you actually got to see it in person. How does this list win?
So on top of the fact that it's a really weird Tyranid list, because most of the Tyranid lists you see have the gene seals that fly across the table in Lockean Combat for turn one, or just kill whatever they touch, one of those two. He doesn't have any of that. You know, he has the Swarm Lord that's around, and oddly enough, it acts more like a defensive buff. He has the Termagants that are really good at just creating a nice little screen. And then he develops more and more screens as the game goes on, as weird as that sounds, because of how many Biovores that he has. And there's a whole bunch of times you just see him move his Biovores just because they're shooting heavy weapons. And every time those things miss, they create a Spore Mine. And the Spore Mines can basically just block your path, so you can't get through them. So by that part, he's still able to hit you with all the Biovores, all the Hive Guard, all the massive amounts of shooting that he has, while going off and grabbing objectives. and eventually he just wears you down, and you have a hard enough time getting to him to even hurt him. It's a big, big pain in the butt to get through all that.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, Spore Mines are doing mortal wounds if you get within 3 inches of them.
At the end of the charge phase.
So they're nothing to slouch at. You know, they definitely do damage. You also remember that he's High Fleet Kronos, so being a brigade, he's got enough command points where, oh, you've got a psychic ability that's important to your list, go ahead and try and cast that with 1d6 instead of 2d6. And then he takes Shadows of Warp on top of that because he's got this gargantuan screen, a lot to deal with. I mean, it really just takes you out of your game. And from what some of the other players were telling me, they felt like they were being herded into corners because all the spore mines kept landing, and they just realized they couldn't get to his side of the field without getting killed. And then, of course, there's plenty of shooting lanes, even with all the line of sight blocking terrain, where they were just opening fire and taking out the units that didn't move. So, very interesting list. Very interesting strategy, and I don't think anybody's... I don't know, people are going to prepare for this in the next 2 weeks before LVO.
And I know that both Jeff and I finished up our fifth rounds really quick, and we talked about it, and we're both extremely excited to see how we both do against each other, since my army's really good at clearing off all stuff that he puts out, and it'll also rack up the tally for, you know, good old Epidemus, but... And then his stuff is able to punch through a lot of my toughness by the fact that they threw out mortal wounds. So it's kind of like the counter to the counter.
There is a part of me that would really like to see you guys face off at the LVO just to see which list ends up doing better.
Yeah. I do definitely think that if I go first, I'll have a much better chance than if I go second, because there won't be as many spore mines in the way for me to have to worry about.
Right.
Because I definitely do like to get close with that army.
Don, did you want to talk about your list at all?
Yeah, sure. So, I've been screwing around with a list that, up until probably about a month ago, I was trying my hardest not to get first. As funny as that sounds, I thought that most of the outlets were trying to put first place lists out so you could see where first was. And then, I think it was late September or early December, I got third in a GT. And I didn't realize they went to the top three. So my list started circulating. One of the earlier concepts of it, you know, I was still building it at the time, and now it seems like it's gotten out. I've started even trying to win, as big-headed as that sounds, and started doing really, really well with it. What it is it's two Death Guard spearheads of two demon princes with the talons, the wings. And five Plagueburst Crawlers in each of those detachments. And the Plagueburst Crawlers have the Plague Spitters and the Heavy Sluggers. And they just do an outright silly amount of damage. And on top of that, I have a Supreme Command of Nurgle Demons, which is the two... they used to be called Heralds of Nurgle. Now they're Pox Bringers, I think is what they're called. And Epidemus. So what Epidemus does is every time a Nurgle Demon, which is my entire army... kills off an enemy unit, it adds to his tally, which is cumulative and just keeps getting better and better. And I had originally built that list with the idea that Heralds of Nurgle had this nice little buff that they give out within 6 inches, where it's +1 to the strength of all Nurgle demons. And the Plague Spitters that the crawlers have are strength user. So they start with strength 7, Herald of Nurgle gets them up to strength 8, and then as soon as you kill off 4 units, Epidemus gives them an additional strength, so they become strength 9 flamers with rerolling to wound and AP1 at 9 inches. And their assaults, you can even advance with those plague crawlers and hit people with those. And at the event, I did fairly well with it. As we said, I played 4 total games and still got in second. Practically all my games ended on turn 3, whether it was to talk out the remainder of the next turn or whether I table my opponent. They were all really going my way. And that was with fairly average dice rolls. I never felt like I was rolling super hot, never felt like I was rolling super bad. But it's a super tough army, You have 120 toughness 8 or toughness 9 wounds with a 3 up armor save, 5 up invul save, 5 up field of pain that hit really hard and are actually fairly accurate even though they're BS4. So I'm hoping that'll do really well at the LVO. Hopefully you guys will see me do really well. If you don't, then I don't know, I must have got drunk.
Which is hard to believe. But no, I think it should do well. Again, it's another one of those lists. There's not a lot out there that's countering it. And it's one of those, unfortunately, if you make a hard counter for it, it really leaves you vulnerable to a large percentage of the lists that are currently popular in the meta. So it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. So, and I've had a ton of practice against it. And
yeah, and so I've had also people try to tell me, well, you know, if someone has a first turn charge army, they'll lock in combat, you can't do anything then. The vast majority of what I've played against is first turn charge armies, and it has never seemed to even matter at all, because they just walk away and then the other ones come in and clean up. And then you have those shooting armies. If they can shoot really, really hard, it hurts, but generally speaking, if I parking lot my stuff, I can hit harder than they do in shooting. So it's just a ridiculous amount of firepower that those things do for how tough that they are.
So there you have it, folks. Two possible top 8 lists for LVO. I definitely think both of them will make it to the top 8. I think just with... I don't know. It's just one of those... I think both of those lists are... It's being so close to the event. I don't see a lot of players getting a lot of opportunities to change their list to list tailor to these type of lists. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing there. Anything else you want to add about your list there, Don?
So I'm hoping that it gets nerfed. I'm really hoping it gets nerfed. It should get nerfed. I have no idea why it dropped in points. I'm hoping GW notices it and nerfs it. So I would not suggest going off and buying 10 Plague Burst Crawlers. I'm willing to bet that somewhere in the future they're going to get a points hike. Just maybe.
Since we've been talking about our top 3 finishers, let's take a look at Aurelio's list here, his Alpha Legion list.
We got a battalion detachment for Death Guard. It had Typhus, Necrozius the Undying.
I haven't heard him in a while.
When you see the rest of the list, you'll understand why he's there.
2 18-man Poxwalker squads, a 19-man Poxwalker squad, a Noxious Blightbringer, Tallyman, a battalion detachment made up of 3 squads of 3 Slaanesh Obliterators, an 18-man Chaos Cult squad, yeah, 2 10-man squads of cultists, Mark of Khorne, Chaos Lord, Marcus Slaanesh, Sorcerer with Jump Pack, then a battalion detachment made up of Bloodmaster, Poxbringer, 2 3-man squads of Nurglings, and then a squad of 9 Blue Horrors and 1 Brimstone Horror Pair. Okay. That's it.
Yeah, so Aurelio did fairly well at the event. He played against some really good people like James and a few other guys, but yeah, his army, what it basically does is he has the dinner bell guy from the Death Guard that swings his dinner bell and makes all the zombies run faster. And what he does is he spends that first turn advancing, getting onto the middle, and by the middle I mean like the entire no man's land, and controlling all the objectives for the entire game. And then you're punching a fearless army that is toughness 4 or 5, might be minus 1 to hit. There's all these stacking buffs that he has. And then he also gets like reroll ones on Disgusting Resilient, which is a funeral pain mechanic that they have. It's a 5 up normally. So they're just not going away. And you can also do things where you like pop a stratagem to make it so that whenever any infantry unit or infantry model dies, you add another plague poxwalker to the unit. And most of the time what people attack it with is infantry in and of itself. And every time they kill an infantry in combat, they generate another poxwalker in that same squad. So it's one of those things that you have to have something that can clear out a large amount of 5-up Feeling Pains that are probably minus 1 to hit and probably toughness 4 or 5 the entire game. All the while, you know, the Celestial Obliterators are beating the tar out of you. You have a whole bunch of smites in the middle of that thing with Typhus, Necrozius, all the other stuff going on. He definitely did really well with it. Just that one game against James that he had a not so high scoring game. And that's just because he played another game or another army that did the same general thing, just not with Poxwalkers.
I think one thing that speaks to the quality of the Death Guard Codex that you have two very different builds, almost polar opposite builds, almost, and then they're right next to each other. I mean, you beat out Aurelio by only 2 points. So, give you an idea. Now, granted, he got an extra game in, but I think it speaks well that if you can, it's not a mono build Codex. So, good to see that. Like I said, I haven't heard that Forgeworld character in quite some time. And good to see him back in the fold. Alright, so that is our tournament coverage for this week. Let's get into some of the news over the last 7 days. Alright folks, we are back and we had, as we mentioned, several new releases were teased over the last 7 days. One of them was Adeptus Custodes. And this week, the Warhammer community page started teasing some of the new unit entries from there. We got our first look at the Shield Captain. So I'll be curious to see our panel discussion of what these new HQ units look like. So let me rattle off the stat line for those of you who had not seen the entry at this point. But Shield Captain comes in. No point values, not even a power level. But a 6-inch move. A weapon skill of 2+, ballistic skill of 2+, strength 5, toughness 5, 6 wounds, 5 attacks, leadership 9, and a 2+ armor. Interesting enough, offensively, you will be able to choose from a wide array of war gear, from the classic Guardian Spear to the new Castellan Axe, a huge weapon that trades the AP of its predecessor for a bonus strength ideal for cleaving heretics in half. As for a Shield Captain on a Dawn Eagle jet bike, we'll be taking a closer look at these ancient war machines later in the week. So it looks like you've got a fair amount of options available to this particular HQ choice. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on the Custodes HQ choice?
I'm definitely a large fan of it, but that's because I absolutely love Character Hammer, or whatever they called it back then.
Hero Hammer.
Yeah, Hero Hammer, that's the right word. Mm-hmm. And Custodes is basically trying to put that back in, which I think is a nice little thing in the current thing that is the Horde meta. And like I always like to say, Arizona's weird in the fact that we don't really have a Horde meta, but everywhere else definitely does. And it'd be kind of fun to just watch, a company of 20 dudes walk into a Horde of 100, conscripts, demons, whatever, and actually stand a chance, and you actually feel like you're possibly going to win. I'm looking forward to the Codex, not to mention they just look so damn pretty, and the Emperor's Children in me definitely wants to play it.
So one thing I think is interesting is that they've actually come out and said that they're going to make it where you can make a Shield Captain with any of the versions of the Custodians that they'll make. For instance, they mentioned two other units. One is the Dawn Eagle jet bike squad. Another one is the squad that's in Alaris Terminator armor. And they actually say that you'll be able to make an HQ out of any of those guys.
There is a dad joke in that Dawn Eagle jet bike.
Moving on, before we get into more dad jokes, there's also a character that they brought up, Valaris, with his full name here.
Trajan Valaris.
Of course it is. There we are.
He's a captain general. He's going to be strong. So he's got a, quote, similar stat line, but he's got what's called the Watcher's Axe, which is an artifact that gives him 5, strength 10, AP minus 3 attacks on the charge, which deal D3 damage apiece. And it can become even stronger with the fact that he's got a bubble of re-rolling hits and wounds of 1. Not just the custodians around him, but also himself.
So if that wasn't bad enough, he's got another piece of war gear that comes with him.
Yes, the Moment Shackle. So once per battle, if he is on the battlefield, you can do one of the following. You can regain D3 wounds lost during the phase. You cannot do it during an attack, or if he is slain, though. Or at the beginning, or excuse me, at the end of the fight phase, you can pile in and attack an additional time. Or you can choose to regain D3 command points spent that you used on a stratagem, but you cannot get more than the amount you spent.
I think the pile in attack is going to be the most common one you'll find there, because he's probably going to die if he actually does take damage.
That's probably a good point. Yeah, with 5 wounds, whatever's getting through that armor is probably going to kill him.
Well, if you so the regular shield captain has 6 wounds. We don't actually know how many wounds he's going to have, because they don't outright say.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll be something like a Demon Prince beating on him or something like that. Or a Bloodthirster, or, you know, a rail cannon, something like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that the additional attack is going to be the one used the most.
Yeah, especially with such a low model count army. Getting more attacks definitely helps out.
Mm-hmm. And with the fact that he can dish out as much as 15 damage per attack phase, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you guys talked a lot. I mean, I'm a big fan of elite armies myself. But we've already seen Grey Knights, who are definitely an elite army, struggle. We made a big joke at the start of the show, Death Watch, an elite army, struggle. What's going to take for this army to not struggle?
I think it'll be, as silly as it sounds, lack of customization. The big thing with Grey Knights that makes it so darn horrible is people look at a Grey Knight, go, this is supposed to be like the best of the best in the Space Marines, you know, aside from the toilet seats. But what they do is they go, all right, I want to have a Grey Knight Terminator squad with all 4 Thunderhammers and all as many Psycans as I can fit in there. I want to have Dread Knight Grandmasters that show up on the battlefield and they just unload everything that they have. But there's too many high damage weapons in the game for that. Also, a lot of the Grey Knights, they're super elite stuff, you know, Terminators and whatnot. It's only like 2 wounds, and generally speaking, 2 wounds is not hard to chew through with 1 bullet with the shooting phase right now. There's a lot of D3 damage ones, which on average you're popping a Terminator turn, or a Terminator shot if it goes through their armor. And there's things like the Avenger Gatling cannons that, you know, the Double Dock of Knight has, and all those 2 damage weapons that are just getting through, whether it's mastercrafted bolt guns, mastercrafted power swords, mastercrafted fill in the blank, that are just going to nuke things like Grey Knights outright. Whereas Custodes, if I remember right, have 3 to 4 wounds apiece. They're a lot more durable. They all have a 2-up save. They actually hit fairly hard. And they have fairly durable transports. Granted, I don't think you'll see the transport options. I think they're going to be using that deep strike stratagem that is rumored.
How is that deep strike stratagem different from what we've seen in other deep strikes? Is it more than one unit?
It might be more than one unit. I would expect it for it to be something along the same lines as the demons. But it might also be the same thing as what's in the Eldar Codex, where you can have 1 to 2 units. So it might be something along those lines, but in general, the Custodes are a lot more durable than Grey Knights. They're a lot more durable than, well, everything per model basis, unless you start getting into greater demons and Primarchs. There's not a whole lot more that's, you know, 3 to 4 wounds, 2-up save with an impulse save, might have a Storm Shield that is T5, Strength 5, lots of damage on their attacks, hitting on twos. They're definitely an elite army, so they'll still suffer from all the pitfalls of the elite army, where they're going to have difficulty holding objectives. I definitely think that you'll see a good Custodes army will not be a mono Custodes army.
I can definitely agree with that.
What do you think they'll pair it with?
I'm sure that it's going to be the go-to. Cheap guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I look forward to seeing it as more stuff piles out the rest of this week. We'll get more information from GW, which is nice to see. So I am curious about those Dawn Eagle jet bikes. They look rather impressive, and curious to see what kind of stat line they bring to the table. As well as
I'm going to have to get a squad.
All right, so as we mentioned, we went over the two major tournaments from this past weekend. None of our top 10 were involved in any of those particular actions, so therefore the top 10 ITC standings remain the same as we head into the final weeks of the ITC season. So any last-minute predictions? We predict any other? I don't think there's any major events next weekend, so we pretty much expect the top 10 to be the same going into the Las Vegas Open. So right now, no new codices to really look forward to other than the LVO itself. That's pretty much our big news coming on.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a really, really bold move. I'm going to say that absolutely none of the top 40 players are going to show up. So I'm going to catapult ahead of Tony Gripando.
Interesting. Well, I was looking at one list. I mean, first of all, I'm going to be staggering to see, but I was looking at Jeff Robinson. If he wins LVO, he erases one of his really low scores. He could actually vault into first place, assuming Tony Gripando doesn't show up. He would end up the season with like 800 points to Tony's 730, whatever he has now. But that's assuming Tony doesn't even crack the top 50% of the field, which I find it very unlikely, but stranger things have happened. So one more week of posturing and plotting before it all comes down for real, and we'll have coverage for you guys during the week. In the meantime, I want to thank Don for being our guest host with us again this week.
Thank you.
Ray, always good to hear from you again this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hear from the rest of you guys during the week on our Facebook page. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.